Hi, I'm Gavin Ring. I'm a tenor and I'm working at the Wexford Festival Opera this year, singing the role of Juan in Don Quixote by Massenet and the role of Azim in The Veiled Prophet by Stanford. I'm originally from Carrick-on-Avon in County Kerry, so not too far away from home, I suppose, if you take the N72 straight across Cork and into Killarney. But unfortunately, the rehearsal schedule doesn't allow me to take such luxuries at the moment. But look, I'm right by the water here and lovely in the lovely sunny southeast, so really enjoying it.
And we're here in Wexford Opera House, and we've got the Wexford Opera Festival just around the corner. When did you fall in love with opera?
At a very young age, actually. I think around the age of 4 or 5, I remember listening to The Three Tenors. Even at that age, I remember being spellbound by it, and I think that stayed with me all my life. I took some permutations. I became a primary school teacher first. I always, in my heart of hearts, wanted to pursue a career in opera, and thankfully, I've been 10 years at it now, and 10 years to the good, and it's all working out well, thank God.
And you love it. And I remember back in Italia 90 when we first moved to Ireland, and Father Dowling, the music priest in school, he used to play us a lot of opera, a lot of Pavarotti. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever think of becoming an opera singer, but you did. You loved it so much.
I just fell in love with it from year dot. There was something about it. I think maybe the visceral sort of quality of opera, how raw and how passionate it is, but at the same time, how sophisticated it is. There are moments in opera which translate as some of the greatest moments of human creativity. And I suppose I was instantaneously attracted to that. But, you know, music in general has been to the forefront of my existence, I suppose, since my life began. And I suppose it started with traditional music down in Kerry. I started getting classical lessons then and things, and I suppose I felt that music has always been a massively enriching force in my life, and I was just very fortunate, very lucky that I was able to then translate that into something I could do for a living. This is a very, very famous piece, probably doesn't need an introduction. I'm just going to sing some of Puccini's Nessun Dorma.
I'm Andrea Grant, and I'm head of the music staff here at Wexford Festival, and I've been coming here since 2007. My first year was when this opera house was being built, and so we were out in Johnstown Castle, and the festival took place in a tent, so that was quite an adventure and an interesting first year. And normally I'm based in Toronto, Ontario. I enjoy coming here every fall. I love the whole experience. I love the people here. I'm from a really small town in Ontario of 3,000 people called Wingham. This town has the same kind of feel. There's a lot of similarities between the two places, but the people are very warm and hospitable, and the people here have such pride in the festival, and I love that about the town, and I love the element of the festival that it's international. And I mean, in our show this year, I'm working on Don Quixote that Gavin is in, so we have a baritone from Iceland, Don Quixote is a bass from Georgia, mezzo soprano is from Russia, and so it's you're always working
all
with
all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world, and every year it's the same, where you have a really broad representation of a lot of people from Italy, a lot of people from...
So it really is world-class, the Wexford Opera Festival.
It is, yeah. It's world-class, and it's very unique because the mandate has always been to present rare operas. So that's another draw to this festival, is that people can come here and hear undiscovered or at least, you know, gems of the repertoire that don't get performed very often. It's unique in that way.
Well, I believe in the mantra, build it and they will come. I think all you have to do is expose people to it. I was exposed to it at a young age, And I carried the love of it with me all through my life. And regardless of whether you become a performer or a musician or not, the experience of having opera in your life as this hugely life-affirming force is something very powerful. And of course, we all are acutely aware of the all-round health benefits of having music in your life, both as a pursuit to enjoy or pursuit to better oneself at. For me, it's sort of like the superfood of life, if you have it and if you appreciate it. I mean, if you are exposed to it, it will enrich your life experience to no end. Get online now is what I'd say, and get your tickets as soon as you possibly can. You'll really be in for a treat here. It's a very special place to be here in late October, early November.
And it's from the 22nd of October.
22nd of October to the 3rd of November, if I'm correct. What we'll do here, Henry, is we'll go through the processes by which, let's say, an opera singer will approach a role or will approach an aria being, you know, a sort of a principal song in an opera. What we'll try and gather from that process is the empirical nature of what an opera singer does and the level of donkey work and the level of commitment that is required. Not only, let's say, over a long period of time in your life, learning how to sing, learning how to produce a technique that will sustain a voice over an orchestra, but also the nitty-gritty, like looking at your languages, going through the text, speaking through it so that you're really attending to the nuances of the particular language that you're singing in, and getting to grips with the meaning of the text. Because we sing opera and we sing in different languages, we need not necessarily be fluent speakers of that language, but what we need to do, exactly what we need to do, is absolutely understand every word that we're saying in that particular moment, because at the end of the day, we're communicators and we're telling a story.
Because some operas do actually show subtitles. They're singing perhaps in Latin and it's translated into English.
Yeah.
And it can be something as simple as, why did you not pass me the pillow?
But it
doesn't always mean something incredibly romantic. What language are we going to sing in?
So I think we'll take a look at German to start off with. And I've picked this piece. It's the Birdcatcher song. It's Papageno's first aria from The Magic Flute. Now, I picked it for two reasons. Number one, when Mozart wrote this, he didn't write it for a singer. So you're okay, Henry. This will be okay for you. He wrote it actually for an actor who was the particular head of the theatrical troupe that he was writing the opera for, a guy called Emanuel Schikaneder. I think that will make it kind of accessible. The second thing is, I was a baritone for 10 years, and Papageno was the last role that I did as a baritone back in May here in the National Opera House as part of a production with Irish National Opera. The journey of vocal development, because now I've become a tenor and I'm making my tenor debut here at Wexford.
That's a huge transition.
Huge, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I was very fortunate in the sense that physiologically it had happened kind of for me anyway, and all I had to do was apply the right approach technically with my teacher in London as to, you know, how to access the top part of the voice in a healthy and appropriate manner. So I've been working kind of steadily on that for the last, ever since the beginning of the year. Well, I'm here now at Wexford and I'm going to be making my tenor debut, which is exciting, challenging, but I'm really looking forward to it.
And I'm going to make my singing debut.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, maybe now you can take over doing Papageno from me. One of the first things that an opera singer will do is get to grips with the inflection, where to carry the vowel sound through. And that's really important as a singer. When you're singing opera, you have to make sure that you really sing on the vowel and sing through it. Get every single last millisecond of value out of the vowel, because that's where the sound is and that's where the sustainment of the vocal line will get you out over the orchestra if you really attend to those vowels.
Of course, your voice has to compete with a live orchestra.
Absolutely. And sometimes that orchestra can be as big as 90 pieces. So it's imperative that your vocal technique is up to scratch and that you're doing it healthily. I mean, there's a lot of singers out there, opera and otherwise, who may not necessarily be producing their voice healthily. And what happens is that they run out of road and, let's say, their career is cut short because they're not producing it. They're not producing the sound appropriately. So we're going to just go through the language, the first verse of the Birdcatcher's aria, Der Vogelfänger bin ich ja, from Mozart's Magic Flute. So what I want you to do, Henry, is repeat after me, basically.
Okay.
Der Vogelfänger bin ich ja.
Der Vogelfänger bin ich ja.
Good man.
Stech lustig heister. Hopsasa.
Good man. That's not bad at all. We're really going to attend to those vowels. So, der Vogelfänger bin ich ja.
Der Vogelfänger bin ich ja.
Not bad. Stets lustig heißer Hopsasa.
Well, this is harder. Schlischua. I'm gone.
Why don't we try and put that to a bit of music? Der Vogelfänger bin ich ja. Do you want to sing that with me?
Okay.
Der Vogelfänger bin ich ja. Good man, Henry. You did. That's perfect. You say you can't sing. You absolutely can
sing.
There's a voice there.
I just talked my way
through
that.
We need to dig it up, but it is there. And we'll do the next line. So,
stets lustig
heißer Hopsasa. Excellent. Fantastic. Great.
Wow. Do I have a part in this opera?
I think so. I think you need to go out and get on that audition circle right now.
You were excellent. That was very, very well done.
Really?
For the first go, yeah.
Der Vogelfänger bin ich ja.
Good man.
Stets lustig heißer Hopsasa.
Not bad at all. Okay.